Broadcasting from the beautiful Mile High City, you're listening to the Do It Again podcast with your host, the professor of professional wrestling, Warlock of the Wrist Lock, the Catch Wrestling Quant, Submission Mathematician, Mace Majors, and the Sage of Scientific Wrestling, Jake Shannon.
And podcast, the official podcast of Scientific Wrestling. I am your host, Jake Shannon. I am really excited to have on the broadcast with me a very good friend of mine, longtime friend of mine. If you guys follow my work at all, you guys should know a little something about the Mace and the Mace Bell. Well, the guy that I got on the phone is probably the world's best known mace instructor, and I'm happy to have him on with us. Rick Brown, are you there, Rick?
I'm here, and I'm happy to be here.
So Rick, what's your elevator pitch to people who haven't heard you? Because now this isn't really a so much an audience geared towards, you know, functional fitness per se. This is more of a grappling or wrestling audience. So what's your elevator pitch? Who are you and what do you do?
My name's Rick Brown. I'm a lifelong exercise enthusiast. A decade or so ago, I found out about mace training and the mace bell, and it is a 1,000-year-old strength and conditioning methodology from India, originally used to train wrestlers, and I've updated it, and I present it in seminars around the world.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty fair. So, I mean, you've had, it's been pretty neat to watch your growth over all these years, because, you know, when I first came out with the Mace Bell, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I really just wanted one for myself. I didn't really think of... you know, making it this like phenomenon that everybody would be doing. But to be honest, I couldn't figure out how to really get one for myself back then without getting a manufacturer involved. And so, you know, while I started the Mace Bell back in 2006, I really didn't do much with it. But on the other hand, you, because I've been so focused on the wrestling thing, you know, like trying to grow scientific wrestling and do all that. But on the other hand, I mean, you just took the bull by the horns and really went with it. So maybe describe to people your evolution and talk about some of the travels and the adventures and stuff along the way.
Well, it's actually, to me, unbelievable, but an exciting story. I started out as a kettlebell instructor prior to, just before I met you, we're talking 2005, and I was just one of many, many kettlebell instructors. Although I was just in love with the kettlebell, absolutely in love with it. I was already an old man back then in 2005. and then in Southern California, you know, with all these beautiful hard bodies teaching people kettlebells, they didn't want me to do it. So I it was a struggle. But I still loved it, and I loved the training, and I always kept my ear to the ground, so to speak, looking for new methodologies of training, which led me to find out about scientific wrestling and the Mace Bell. And so at the time, I didn't have a computer, and I was at the library on their computer, and I was looking at your site, and I thought, okay, I had seen a mace Agata on videos before. Not now, mind you, as you well know, at this time there was no instructional, there was nothing out there. I saw it on an old travel video of India, and they didn't even say what it was. It was just some guy in an Akara doing a Agata for a few seconds, and even back then I realized, okay, this is strength plus control. I want to get in on this, but. Then nothing in print until I saw your site, scientificwrestling.com. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. This is so interesting. And I'm driving home from the library, Dana Point Library, right? And I'm thinking, now, how am I going to learn about this? And this truck pulls in front of me. On the back of the truck, it says, learn to use mace spells. And like I tell people, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I'm not stupid. And when God's talking to me,
it was a sign.
Yeah, this was the sign. He didn't have to hit me over the head with it, you know. And I thought, boy, this is great. So, you know, then I found out that we actually lived in the same city, just a few streets away. Well, it was a no-brainer, and I loved the mace spell right off the bat. I still have that very same mace spell that I got from you. And so at the time, I was still training people. As I was learning from you, I was still training people with kettlebells. Well, one of my first kettlebell clients was the co-owner of a company called BudoVideos.com.
Oh, Jake McKee.
Well, he was the co-owner. I was his partner's instructor, Dave
okay.
Contreras.
Okay.
And incidentally, it was Jake that first showed me that the DVD, the physical body that had all the mace swingers in Varanasi. But we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, Vincent Giordano did that DVD, which was just fantastic.
I actually contacted him, or he contacted me, when I was in India a few weeks ago. That's incredible. But so I have this client who is a co-owner of Budo Videos, and I'm teaching him kettlebells. And he says he wants to come out with a DVD. Back then, you know, DVDs were the thing. It wasn't video VHSs anymore.
Yeah.
So he wants to come out with a DVD on kettlebell instruction. And I thought, well, wow, who are you going to get? And I thought of all the Southern California instructors. And again, it was a blinding flash of the obvious. He said, you stupid, I want you to do it. I nearly fainted. Well, we made the DVD and it did really well. And, you know, we had a chapter on the snatch, the press, the clean and jerk, the Turkish getup and all that, and the swing. And then the last chapter, we did a outdoor workout, and we did it on, it was New Year's Eve. I remember filming it, probably 2006.
Wow.
And I put him through a workout, which we did several kettlebell exercises, and then we did a mace 360. And that video's, you know, it was, a lot of people bought it. A lot of people, it was sold all over the place. Now it's cut up for free on YouTube. But of all the comments, and I was just getting into the internet at the time, but of all the comments I got from the audience on the internet, everybody wanted to know what this mace was. Mm. What was this thing? What was it? And if I can remember correctly, what I said was, he's swinging around a 10 kilogram weight at over 4 feet in length. And I remember saying, you people do the math and figure out what that is doing for his shoulders.
Mm.
And I think that line got people thinking. I hope it did. And I know a lot of people asked me about the mace after that. Nobody asked me about the kettlebell. They got that on their own. So they wanted to know about the mace. And so I started teaching people privately the mace in and around the Southern California area. Basically, you know, where we both lived at the time. Then there was, I did heavy clubs. As you remember, when we first met, I had heavy clubs and kettlebells in my car. And so there was a magazine at the time, My Man Methods. And
sure.
I submitted some articles to him, and he printed them. And then he put me actually on the cover of one of his magazines.
Oh, nice.
I think I was holding it. I was holding a giant, an 80-pound club and like a 54-pound kettlebell. And then, and I'd never met him. I just sent this stuff to him, and he posted. I was very grateful that he did that. So I found out that he had a booth at the Los Angeles Health and Fitness Expo. And I thought, you know, I'm going to go to the booth, and I'm going to say hi, shake his hand and thank him. Mark DeGrasse is his name. And I did. I met him there, and he had some kettlebells and some heavy clubs there. I wish he would have had a mace there. But I said, hey, I know how to use this stuff. Let me show you, you know. And I was in street clothes. I was doing some routines with the clubs. And he filmed those. He put them up. And then there's a voice in the crowd that says, hey, are you Rick Brown? And I'm thinking, my goodness, who's this? And it was a gym owner. And he said, I said, how do you know who I am? He says, I own a gym. I have your DVD. I play it at my gym. Do you want to do a seminar at my gym? And everybody, every trainer in the room wants to hear that, right?
So is this still 2006, 2007 or what, like what year are we at?
Oh no, this is more fast forward into 2013.
Okay.
And all my, from 2006 to 2013, I was just training private clients with the mace.
Yeah.
Okay, and kettlebells. So when this gym owner at the expo says, I play your DVD at the gym, do you want to come? I said, of course I want to do a seminar at your gym. Where is it? New York, London, Paris, Munich? He said, it's in Long Beach. I said, okay, we'll do it. And this was Eric Doyle, who was the owner of Long Beach Kettlebell Club. And we said, let's do a combination kettlebell and mace seminar. And we planned it out, and it was June 22nd, 2013. 18 people showed up. I was delighted. I said, hey, there might be something to this.
Yeah.
And 18 people showed up. I felt it was a great successful event. And other than when I learned from you, I didn't know anyone who was publicly training the mace, just, you know.
Back then, nobody was.
Right. So, of course, now, since then, I hear everyone telling me they've been doing the mace since 2001. Yeah, okay.
Really?
Yeah, I hear all sorts of things like that. I just ask them if they have any video of it, because, you know, I've got video from the very start.
Right.
But, so I started to get a few local seminars in the Los Angeles and San Diego area. And I was happy with that. I would drive to them. And then I drove to Central California, Salinas, and I did one. And that was an interesting one, because the people that I trained there moved away from Salinas to Austin, Texas, and they formed the nucleus of the Onnit organization.
Of what organization?
Onnit.
Yeah, okay.
So most of the Onnit pioneers actually learned the mace from Rick Brown.
Oh, wow.
They don't say that, you know, but it's okay. But then I got a call from a gym in Albuquerque, and they said they would fly me out, and myself and also Eric, and we would do a seminar there. And Jake, I'm telling you, I feel like a celebrity. I'm actually being flown out, put up in a hotel. And I'm being put up in a hotel and getting paid, right? So I thought, this is as good as it gets. Here I am, I'm in my late 50s. I'd never left the country at the time, so I didn't even have a passport. Never needed one, right? And I thought, but I've been to a few states. This is as good as it can possibly get. Well, by that time I had a computer, it was in my bedroom. And one night around 2 a.m., I get a text from a guy, and he says he wants me to come to his gym and teach the mace. So had he have called me on the phone like we're talking, I would have instantly known that, okay, this guy has an accent. He's not an American. But it was just text, and the English was perfect. So I said to him, if you want me to come to your gym and you're not in California, you have to fly me out and pick me up in a hotel and pay my fee. And he says, no problem. So I said, well, where are you located, sir? And he said the name of the city. It was a city I'd never heard of. It was Kilmallock. And I know that the state of Texas has a lot of cities that start with K, Kenmont, Kilmont. And so I asked him, I said, are you in Texas? And he said, no, sir, I'm in Ireland.
Oh, wow.
And I was astonished. And I said, and this is the truth, I texted back to him, do you mean Leprechaun Ireland? And there was a long pause, and then he says, yeah, he said, yes, sir. And so I woke my wife up. It was like 2 a.m., right? I woke her up. I said, honey, I'm going to Ireland. I can't believe it. Well, long story short, I've been to Ireland four times since then.
Wow.
And I love that country. In fact, I remember I called you not long after I got my airplane tickets, because I said, Jake, can you believe it? I'm actually landing at Shannon Airport.
Yeah.
And it was a delightful experience. And
so what year is that? That's like 2013, 14 as well?
2015. I did local seminars for 2 years, and then I got my first international one.
Wow.
And that led to England, and that led to doing two in England, doing one in Norway, two in Italy, two in Australia, one in China, and then most recently one in India and one in Canada. It's just been a whirlwind, and I still do them. I think I've done 31 in the United States.
That's amazing.
And it's not me, Jake. It's not me. It's the power of the mace. And I want everyone to know that I'm just the guy who's exposing it to them. It's no fascinating thing about me. It's that they try the mace, they like it, and they see what it can do. And I think that's what hooks them.
All right.
The guy who barks the loudest about it. That's all.
Well, I mean, you're pretty damn strong too, and you're very technical, and you're a good teacher. So I don't think you should necessarily demur too much, because there is something special about what you're doing as well. Let's just take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we'll come right back, because I want to talk about a little bit about your travels, and then also about some of your ideas with the mace. You know, I think you've come up with some really cool things, like in particular the mace unity thing, which I've learned from and started trying to apply in the catch wrestling community as well, because it's been very contentious. And I also want to talk about some of the different maces out there now, because now it's like, it's unbelievable. I mean, everybody in there, every manufacturer is making a mace now. So I want to kind of get your feel for it, because you've been around since the very beginning, and you're like grassroots, man. I mean, you're right out on the front lines with it. So guys, hang on. We'll be right back. Rick Brown, the Mace Man. And Rick, what's the best website for people to find you?
It's easy. I do 99% of my business off Facebook and Instagram. So on Instagram, it's at Mr. Mace Man.
Mm.
And on Facebook, it's my name, Rick Brown. But you have to spell it like I spell it. I spell it R-I-K Brown. If you go R-I-C-K Brown, he's some a rapper in London. So it's not me.
I'm sure he's sick of getting mace bell requests.
He is. And you know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, yeah, R-I-K Brown.
Okay, well, hold on, guys. We'll be right back after the break with Rick Brown, Mr. Mace Man. All right, and we are back. I'm really excited to have on the podcast a guy that I've known for a very, very long time. I mean, in fact, you know, I really consider like that 2006, 2007 year a very special year for me. I've been very, very lucky, and I've had a lot of cool opportunities, and it's been a real great ride for myself. But that 2006, 2007 year was real special, because that was like the first year that I launched the King of Catch Wrestling tournaments, which were the first competitive catch wrestling matches held where records were kept and, you know, different weight divisions and such. And it was also the year that I launched the certification program that's still going to this day. Coaching Catch, coachingcatch.com is the site. But that year was also the year that I came out with the mace bell. And I just, you know, I've been so dedicated to the wrestling thing and touring and writing and producing videos and everything else that, you know, I'm going to be honest, the mace bell kind of got left by the wayside. But thank goodness, one of the very first and very few people that I ever taught the mace to really took the ball and ran with it. And I've got him on the phone with us. Rick Brown, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so you've traveled to Ireland, and you've traveled all around the United States. What are some of the places you've traveled? Let's start domestically and then go international.
Start with the USA?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay. Like I said, my first dozen or so events were all from San Diego to the Bay Area, pretty much, and Los Angeles. Okay. Actually, I've never actually been in the city of Los Angeles. I was born there, but I can't get a gym to host me there yet. So if you're out there, I can drive to you. You don't have to pay for air flight because I can drive there. I'm driving February 8th up to, where is it? Pleasanton, California, which is in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I'm going to rent a van and load it with all my different maces. We'll talk about that. So that, because when I go internationally, I can't take any maces. So it's basically what the people have there. This one, I will be able to rent a van and load it with all my different types of maces, because I want people to try different types. And I'll be with Eric Doyle again. He's been a friend of mine and a partner of mine since the very beginning. We've never signed a contract. It's always been a handshake and a beer or five. And he like you, are one of the most trustworthy people I've ever dealt with in this business. And he's a pleasure to work with. But so
Albuquerque. And Eric is in Long Beach. He's got the Long Beach Kettlebell Club, or I'm not sure what he calls it. Is that right?
Yes, Long Beach Kettlebell Club. I think he's had that gym about 9 years, which is one of the longer running kettlebell gyms in the USA.
Wow.
And I've done a few seminars there. I always know I've got a place to go. You know, people come and train with me for private certifications, and I have a small studio where I live, and I can train one or two people, like couples or individuals. And every month I end up training somebody, people fly in from other countries or other states or whatever. But there've been a few times in which five people have flown in or six, and I don't have the room to train them. So I just have them meet me at Long Beach Kettlebell Club. There's room for 50 there. So
yeah, that makes sense. So you've definitely got California on lockdown, except LA peeps. You need to get booking Rick out there. But then, you've been to Texas. Hey,
there's other people, you know, obviously teaching the Mace. I'm not the only one. And they've done.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I said there's other people teaching the Mace. There are. I'm not the only one.
Right.
But they've booked LA gyms, and I'm like, I live here. This gym had to fly that guy in. What's going on? But hey, there's room for all of us. So, you know, if you don't like what I do, call the other guy. That's how this thing works, and I'm okay with that. But so I've done Texas, Austin twice.
Now, that's interesting to go to Austin, because that's the headquarters of Onnit, which they have their own production line of maces and instructors and stuff. So you're coming into Austin, and people are coming into LA from outside LA. So it's kind of interesting.
I guess it's a wash then, or it's a push. Yeah, that works. I visited the Onnit place when I was there last time.
Oh, nice.
Huge place. But and the people there are real nice, you know. But so I think I've done two or three in New Jersey, one in New Hampshire, Kansas. I'm trying to think. Wisconsin. That was a great one. This guy is pretty well off, and you got to get with this guy, because he's a wrestler, and he hired me at my rate that I charge for a gym to just train himself and his son.
Oh, nice.
Who is a wrestler. And they're both wrestling coaches. And I said, you know, you're paying me my full fare, my fee. You could have 10, 15, 20 people show up if you want. You know, he just wanted it for himself and his son. And he was a great guy. And he's serious. He found out what maces I have and use. He bought every one of them. I mean, he's a great guy, and I hope to meet him again. But so I've done a little in the Midwest and the East Coast, and then of course the West Coast. And that's pretty much been it. As far as the USA goes.
Okay, and then you got Ireland. That was your first international. And then where else have you gone internationally?
Ireland led to England, Newcastle, England.
Okay.
And then that led to Norway. then back to Ireland, a different city, then Rome, Italy.
Oh, wow.
Then back to Northern Ireland, Belfast, and let's see. Okay, so a total of three. Oh, and then England again, London this time. Then, and there's like, you know, weeks and months in between these. It's not like I'm living out of a suitcase, trust me. Then two in Australia.
Oh, wow. That's a hell of a long flight.
Oh, well, yeah, it certainly was. But go on Virgin Australian Airlines, and even the economy street seats are like American Airlines first class.
Yeah, so, I love Virgin. I just flew Virgin when I went out to London this last time, and oh, man.
Yeah, you know how it is. I mean, I said, this is economy. I couldn't believe it. And then China, Beijing.
Wow.
I was able to swing a mace on the Great Wall.
Wow.
And I like to tell people I've swung a mace on the Great Wall, on in front of the Colosseum, on the London Bridge, and then, you know, Australia, the Sydney Opera House. I try to get the backgrounds into my pictures, but okay, so after China, that was 1 year ago, December. I had been doing some in the United States ones and a lot of private work where I live, private certifications. And then I got contacted. I never thought this would happen. This was also in the last few months. You know, it's a mace swinger's dream to even visit India.
Right.
And I didn't think I'd ever even get a chance to visit India. And I kid you not, this is the truth. I can show you my phone records. In one 10-hour period, two gyms in India contacted me.
Wow.
And it was who do I go with? Who do I go with? And I made a choice. I went with one, and they asked me for something that I'd never been asked for before. They said they wanted total exclusivity, in that if I ever do anything in India, it will only be through that gym.
Okay.
And I thought, well, you know, it's not like I'm going to get a million people to ask me. But these people treated me so well. Oh, and then the kicker was, they said, we'll have you back every year for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
So Nugent Quantum Fit was the gym where I taught. And they were so good to me. The crowd was nice. It was good. And then I had explained to them that this was on the phone. I said, you know, I've always wanted to visit Varanasi, India, because that's where the Akars are. Well, Nugent Quantum Fit, they said, well, fine, when you're done with the seminar here, we'll fly you to Varanasi, we'll put you up for a few days, and you can see all the Akars.
Wow.
And so my trip to India was really a two-phase trip. One was to instruct in a city called Ahmedabad, and then after that, I went to Varanasi for a few days, and I got to, this was the coolest thing, Jake. This was, when I first saw that DVD by Vincent Giordano, there's one, they, you know, it shows all the different Akars. There was one particular Akar that I really was interested in, because it showed the wrestler's whole routine with all the different equipment. And this wrestler, his name is Phony, and he's doing this he's doing this routine with the gadas or the mace, and you can see a monkey run across the gym's roof.
Yeah.
And so fast forward to about 3 weeks ago, I'm in Varanasi in front of that very same Akara. I meet Phony. I train with him for 3 days, and there's monkeys everywhere. I mean, the monkeys they're everywhere. You're not supposed to look at them. If you look at them, they take offense to that. And they'll either, I don't know, and I don't want to have a problem with them, but they throw things at you.
Right.
So, I never looked at these monkeys if I could help it. But you're walking through the streets of Varanasi, and the buildings are tall and they're close together, and these monkeys are just jumping from rooftop to rooftop. It took getting used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, going to India and being somebody who swings the mace, I mean, that's like a pilgrimage, really.
Yeah, there have been others, popular people in the mace world that have gone to India, you know, on their own. And thank goodness Paul Wolkowinski went to India as many times as he did. He was the perfect ambassador. because he's proficient, very good with the mace, and he was able to kind of open their eyes to the fact that it's not just Indians that could use these tools. So he kind of laid the groundwork for me. I mean, he made it easy for me to show up there.
Yeah, because I've seen footage of him going over there a couple of times.
Right. He makes great videos, and he's done a lot with them. And I met with some of the same people that he met with. I was just delighted that I got to. One thing I did, I hired a guide in Varanasi. And that was really smart, because I would have been lost. It would have been impossible for me to find all the cars that I found. And I hired a great guy. A lot of people on the internet know who he is, Pratyay Singh. And I would recommend doing that, because he took me everywhere. But best of all, he took me to see the same wrestler that I saw in the Vincent Giordano DVD. His name's Phony, and I was able to train with him for 3 days, and it was just, for me, the experience of a lifetime. Phony doesn't speak much English, very little, but I told him that that he was the Muhammad Ali of the mace as far as I was concerned. And he told me, well, then you're the Mike Tyson. And I'll take that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. So I mean, you've traveled the world. It's interesting, right? Because, you know, part of the reason why I called it the Mace Bell was because, frankly, I was afraid nobody would have the guts to pick it up unless I somehow tied it to kettlebells, which back in like 2005, 2006, they were the trendy, you know, Pavel was everywhere. It was like, that was the trendy thing to do. And frankly, it was a bit of a goof that I ended up having them made out of steel, because I went and I trained with Carl, and Carl Gotch had showed me how to do these. He had a very nice wooden one, you know, and that's what I wanted when I got back home. But I talked to woodworkers, and they were like, oh, that'll be like $400. I was like, Jesus, you know, I just didn't have that kind of money. And so I just thought, you know what, if I could find a manufacturer, make this out of steel, like kettlebells, there's a chance of these becoming like actually production maces instead of just one-off, you know, little maces that people make here and there and sell them. It's kind of interesting, because I think I saw some pictures. You actually had those, you brought some steel maces with you, maces of steel out in India. Is that right?
Well, this was so funny. The gym that hired me to teach had no maces. It's India. You got no maces, right? What's going on? Well, I said, listen, you could make them out of wood. I don't prefer to teach with wood maces for insurance reasons. I don't want them to break and then it come back on me. But they didn't want to deal with the wooden maces. So we finally, and time was of the essence. We had already advertised. I'd already had my flight tickets, and hey, I'm going to be there. We better get some steel maces. So we actually got some. We found a supplier and we got some. Now that was in Ahmedabad, where I taught. When I went to Varanasi, they don't have maces made of steel. It's all the bamboo. And I, of course, use those.
Yeah,
it's important. It's important to note that I taught in Ahmedabad. When I went to Varanasi, I was there as a student, not to teach. Those people were far and away superior to me.
Centuries of, they have like generational knowledge. I mean, here in the States, it's since 2006, you know, and so they are way, exactly. Way ahead.
I felt like a new BJJ black belt going to Brazil, or I felt like a catch wrestler that got to go to the snake pit. Yeah. You know, come on, I had nothing to show them. Those people, what I could do with two hands, they could do with one hand.
Wow! And plus, they also have the things like the garnal, the wooden ring. They had jories, right?
I tried the garnal. I always, just watching it, I always felt that it was an inferior form of a tricep press. It never interested me. I did try it. I think I posted a video of me with it. And I this big old heavy thing, I picked it up. I did it a few times. And then when I threw it down on the dirt, it rolled over to what looked like tractor tires, but they were other dolls. They were just bigger sizes than I was using.
Wow.
And it was very humbling. And I actually took two Jories home with me. I'm practicing with those. And I was presented with an ornate wooden mace that I was able to take home. And they presented it to me, thanking me for popularizing the mace, beyond their borders. And that was very touching. It was it was really surreal to have that happen.
Wow. That's amazing. I think it's important to note, what a huge influence India in general has had upon physical culture, not just in America, but worldwide, because, now obviously, maces are on the uptick and are popular and a bit trendy. People are swinging clubs too, and not just the big clubs, like the little ones, like they used to do at the turn of the century here in the United States. But yoga, is like a multi-billion dollar, double digit, it's like 10 or 15 billion dollar industry worldwide. But one thing that I always found that was interesting, and all of these exercises from yoga to the mace, everything goes back to the Hindu style of wrestling, the Kushti wrestling and the Ikaras. That's where all these came from. Well, one thing that I recently found out, you might find this interesting, and I don't know if you were able to see any of this while you were down there, but my wife has really gotten into pole fitness, which is basically like pole dancing, but it's like fitness. So now these are like, it's basically like gymnastic level, but instead of a horizontal bar, it's vertical. Anyway, all of that pole fitness even traces its way back to India and to the Ikara, because the pole used to be in India made of wood, and they called it Mala Kam. And I think Mala is a word for wrestler. And Mala Kam was another tool that the wrestlers used to get in shape. The impact of India on physical culture, I think, is really kind of undeniable.
Absolutely. The Mala Kam is the wrestler's pole. And they didn't just use it to climb. They would actually practice isometrically, like bear hugging it and trying to pick it up, and it would help them with their belly to belly suplexes and things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, if you watch these videos, I think it's, you'd go to YouTube and type in Malla, and then Kamb is Kambh. And what these guys are doing is like absolutely insane. But the irony is that it's wrestlers and not strippers. And in the West, we've just got so many strange ideas and how things get filtered and promoted out here. But, in India, the yoga was traditionally male. Clearly the maces and those things were traditionally male, and the pole exercises were traditionally male. But out here, I'd say that, and you could probably tell me this better, but it seems like the mace is pretty equal, right? It's like male and female is relatively close, like that are practicing here in the United States or in the West. Is that fair?
I think so. I think so. At first it was definitely male, just like the kettlebell. It was male dominated, but the females are, I've always said that I think the females will ultimately lead the army of the mace. I do.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people doing interesting things. There's that girl that's connected with Onnit and Viking Ninja that's doing the steel mace yoga. There's a lot of, it's so amazing to see, right? Because.
Yes. I was in Canada 2 weeks ago and I got to train at one of my seminars. A wonderful female who's doing great things with it on Instagram. She's Diary of a Fitness Junkie.
Oh yeah. She's great.
Yes, she really, really is. And she was pretty much the star of the class. And it was great to connect with her. It really was.
Yeah, her videos are like amazing to watch. And I mean, the level of creativity too, because, when I went to train with Carl, all we really did were the 10 to 2s. That was it. Right. And so when I designed it and Torque gave me the prototype, I mean, I was sitting there and I'm like, man, this is not going to sell in the United States unless you could do more than one exercise with this thing. So, yeah. So you know, I had to, you know, the 360 and the 10 to 2, that was just obvious. But I had to, like, come up with all these crazy exercises. And
the back bridge.
Yeah, walking the bridge and walking the plank, yeah, and all these other things, which I'd like to see more people still doing, especially wrestlers. I can't believe nobody's really rocking that like in a consistent way yet. I see people do it when I put out a challenge, but now I see, like, I mean, now there's like, so there's, I mean, there's like Mace Bell Sport, where people are doing them for time and competitively, kind of like kettlebell sport. What, I don't know what they call that now. And then they got, like, I saw, like, Frankenlegs is, like, swinging it for, like, these 9 hours straight. There's a guy in Italy.
He's beyond human. He's in a category by himself. You don't lump him with other mortals, okay? Because you know why? Because, listen, with Frankenlegs, okay, he can do anything that the traditional crowd does. And he excels, and he can do anything that the flow crowd does, and he excels. So, I mean, he's just not in the mortal category.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So, and then you just brought up, like, so then there's this whole flow crew that's Leo Savage or Kidez, or I'm not sure exactly what he's branding it as.
That's Leo Savage, right?
And then you've got Viking Ninja, which is kind of almost like, it's kind of like flow, but it seems a little bit more like functional fitness, a little more CrossFit kind
exactly.
of.
Right, it is. It's Viking Ninja is similar to a gym that in New Breed Macebell in New Jersey.
Yeah, yep.
In Lodi, mm-hmm. New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah, their two trains of thought are similar. They use the mace as a strength and conditioning tool with a lot of dynamic movements. Let me get it right. Viking Ninja has a TacFit background.
Oh, I see.
And New Breed Macebell has a martial arts background. And they're both very great forms of exercise. And I can speak for both of the coaches. They're great coaches.
Yeah.
So whatever avenue you want to get in on this, pick up a mace, get off the couch, and you know, and you're a winner. And you spoke earlier about mace unity. And I don't know if I started the hashtag. I think I did, but I had to, because I think I started the disunity when it first came out against the flow, and I'm embarrassed and I'm sorry about that. And so, you know, I will never, ever, ever bash anyone who picks up a mace, as long as they do it with a sincere heart. And of course the flow crowd is sincere.
Oh, believe me. But, if you think the mace crowd is contentious, just wait till you get involved with the catch wrestling community. Holy shit. So I totally, I mean, that I thought it was a brilliant move, and that's why I kind of moved it into catch wrestling as well, because, I mean, you know, mace is one thing, and people who exercise, you know, they're all intense people, and they all, you know, have egos and stuff, but I swear nobody is as intense and has egos like catch wrestling. And you have to really put yourself out there and risk yourself and drive yourself to be that good. But, you know, it becomes self-destructive at a certain point where, you know, everybody's backbiting and nobody's actually making forward motion. They're more worried about digging, you know, it's like crabs in a bucket. Everybody's trying to bring everybody else down instead of, you know, knowing that a rising tide lifts all the boats, you know? So I really, I'm glad that you did that. And I've gone the same route. Like, you know, I went through I don't follow politics anymore, but Trump said he was draining the swamp or whatever, which who knows what the hell's going on with all that. But
yeah, I don't follow politics either. I leave that off.
Yeah. I became a Mason, and one of the great things that they teach is, you know, you don't talk about politics or religion. And man, that has made my life so much better.
you know what I do is I have a little rule for like my Facebook page and all that, is people can post anything they want, but nothing about politics, religion, or things that are sexually oriented. You know, yeah. And I've got strong beliefs on all three of them, but nobody needs to know it but me. Okay.
Hey, boy. And, amen. I wish there was more people like that, because it seems like that's all people want to talk about on these social media things. And it, yet it has such a powerful ability. If you focus on other things like Mace or wrestling or these other things, you could really do some wonderful things, but everybody gets distracted into the negativity, it seems.
Let me tell you what happened within a year, less than a year ago. Somebody put up a post and it was disparaging towards the Flow crowd. Not really, didn't say Flow in it or anything like that. Well, I agreed with the sentiment. So I shared the post and my comment was one word and the comment was word. And I had 176 comments. Well over 90% of them people, you know, not threatening my life, but, you know, telling me I was a worthless loser. And I got a few phone calls from some of the leaders of the Flow crowd, and I assured them that it was just an opinion. And I am willing to admit that I may be wrong right. in my opinions, but I have my opinions. And so since then, I've learned that some people are more sensitive than others.
Well, and that's also part of the curve, too, when you become, you know, I mean, I say this word very, very tongue in cheek, but, you know, like a fitness celebrity. I mean, I don't really consider myself one, but I'm well known and there is influence and you have to kind of be careful what you say. Like your opinion, it can be like a hand grenade, you know, if you're not careful and you didn't even have the intention. And yet it totally just goes off, you know?
Well, we can prove this. We can prove this right now. I'll say something, and it is an opinion, but I'm sure that other people will totally disagree with it. First of all, I've got nothing against Flow. Like I said, if you pick up a major, you're a winner. But my opinion of Flow to traditional Mace is that it is similar, not identical, but similar to synchronized swimming is to swimming.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. And synchronized swimming is hard. I mean, those are tough athletes.
Of course it is.
They're tough athletes. But I mean, I get what you're saying because, I mean, I'm gonna be frank. Like I see somebody like Leo Savage, and it's fucking impressive as hell. I mean, I see it, and I'm like, dude, what you're doing. I realize that there is a methodology because he's very successful in teaching his methodology. You could see he does his thing and then he teaches it to people and they do it. And so there's definitely something powerful to it. I think there's a great cardio aspect to it. But, you know, frankly, for me, it's just, I'm never going to do that. I mean, it's just, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Somebody's trying to call me up, and I can't. I'm on my phone, and people can't tell me when I'm doing a podcast. So,
well, we'll just wait. There we go. So, I mean, I just, you know, I will probably never ever. I won't say ever. I'm curious. I'd like to try Flow, but I'm gonna be honest. My body just doesn't work that way. I'm not much of a dancer. It's just not my thing. But, you know, I will say this. Like, I see these guys, and they are so goddamn talented. Like, it's so clever, some of the sequencing and the shit that they're putting together. I mean, my wife, when she was a kid, did Color Guard. Do you know what that is?
Right. I do.
You're old enough to remember or grew up in a rural community.
Yes, I went to high school.
So you know, it really reminds me of a lot of like the color guard routines with the twirling and things like that. But and it's difficult. I can tell by what they're doing. But I'm also with you that, you know, for what my aims are, and this is honestly really why I never really dedicated myself to the Mace, is because I'm into wrestling. To me, the Mace is ancillary. To me, the Mace is just so I can have a grip that makes people scared, you know, and it does.
Yeah.
So, but I'm into the wrestling end, and the Mace is just a tool. But it's interesting, right? Because when you go to India, there are Akaras that are just like that. They're wrestling gyms, and they have the Maces and the Joris and the Garnals and all this shit to make them better wrestlers. But then they're strictly like Mace Akaras. Isn't that right?
There are some Mace Akaras in which they don't wrestle.
You're
and
right.
I thought that was ridiculous, but by far most.
No, but
of the
that's
Akaras,
interesting because that's like the evolution that's happening in the United States. Is that like, yes, how many people that swing a Mace now, what percentage are doing it for wrestling or grappling. I mean, it is like maybe 5%, if that.
If that.
So yeah. I get you. It's too bad because, yeah, when you become a leader, you have to be very careful about what you say, because if you say, well, it's not my cup of tea, everybody gets butthurt. But yeah, I think it's great because how many people has the flow thing brought into Mace? Like a bajillion. I think that's fantastic.
It is. When I look at it in the totality of it, if somebody comes into the Mace because they like the flow and then they decide they want to try traditional, they're going to go to a traditional coach. And I have had countless of people come to me, learn from me, and then they decided to go to flow. And then again, you've got the ones like Frank and Legs that dominate in both.
And they do it all. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got like Eric Melland and Daniel Ramsey of New Breed Maceville and Eric Melland of Viking Ninja, who teach a conditioning based, very, very functional type of mace work. That's fantastic to watch and to see and to do. And it gives instant results. So there's a lot of different avenues you can use.
I think you managed it very gracefully. You were able to maybe state your preference.
And then back away from it.
And it did. I don't think it squashed anything. It seems like there's a relative positivity amongst all the different people trying all the different styles. And I think a lot of that has to do with you humbling yourself and not digging in your heels and saying, no, you guys got to stop what you're doing. I mean, I really think that was a great thing that you did for the entire movement.
Well, I thank you. I'm not stupid. I called up Leo Savage at a, you know, I have his number. I called him up. I said, hey, basically I told him this. I said, look, Leo, you're the best at what you do. I'm the best at what I do. Why are we waiting for a gym to hire us? Let's get together and do our own seminar.
Mm.
And Leo's not dumb. He said, yeah, Rick, let's do it. And we did it. And it was a huge success. It was a great seminar.
Yeah. It was great. Awesome.
People flew in from other countries to come to it.
Wow.
And I was able to watch him in person and see him do his thing. And it is magnificent. It's just not what I went to a gym for when I was a skinny, insecure kid. I wasn't thinking about flowing. I wanted to get big and strong. And that's what led me to kettlebell. And that's what led me to the mace.
I think a lot of the female involvement has come through the flow side, where it's, you know, and this is the last thing that I kind of wanted to touch on with you. I really appreciate all the time that you've given me here. But, you know, I was doing the maces with Torque forever. And then there was just some miscommunication between me and Torque and some orders and I think Otis at Torque was kind of looking to move out of the fitness industry and into, he was doing custom cars and things like that. And so, you know, the mace bell as a production mace stopped. But it's interesting because I never paid attention to any of the competition. I never paid attention to any other maces out there, really, except when people would give me gifts and things like that, which were very, very nice. Like, my friend over at Wolf Brigade, Jim, gave me one of his. I think he had it made by, I want to say it was Rogue Fitness. I can't remember 100%. Anyway, now it's interesting. Like, all these maces are so short and light. I mean, to me, when I was teaching, and my emphasis on the mace when I was teaching this years ago, was that the 10 kilo needs to be kind of the one that you focus on. And now everybody else has deviated, which is great, but it seems like the shorter, lighter maces are really where all the production maces are.
Well, generally a person who's interested in flow is not going to pick up 10 kilograms, generally.
True. Right. So like all the Onnit ones, Onnit is like, it's, I would guess they're 10 pound, which is less than half the weight of the 10 kilo, is probably their biggest mover, would be my guess.
Yeah, I think that's true. Again, you have to think about when you do mass production, you've got to think about what's easiest to ship, mm-hmm. and you know, what are most people going to pay for. I bought a mace from Tengu in Poland, and I paid for the mace. It was a reasonable amount, but it was twice as much money to ship it mm-hmm. to California. And I, in fact, I was talking with a mace maker in Russia yesterday. I was texting him and I asked him, I saw this beautiful mace. I said, I've got to have one. And he says, well, sir, our prices are good and competitive, but it would cost twice that much to send it to California.
Dude, that's exactly what you're saying is the whole reason why after my deal with Torque ended, I really haven't even looked for any other manufacturer to do it because the shipping cost was like so prohibitive. I was making nothing on selling these things. I was just in there fulfilling orders for free. You know, I mean, really, like the cost of shipping was so prohibitive, especially the mace bell, which was 54 inches long. Now, like the Onnit mace is at least a foot shorter than the mace bell was, at least.
Well, that mace bell, you know, I've got a couple of the originals and there, nothing feels like them. You know, you've got that rubber head on there that really helps when you're doing like the bridge work. Mm-hmm. It makes it easy to put in the ground. It's not going to slide on the ground.
Yeah, it's like a rubber stopper.
Right. And I just, you know, there was nothing for like 6 or 7 years. There was no competition as far as people making maces. I just got so used to it. I like to tell people you're nothing in the mace world until you've done 1 million reps. And it took me that long to get 1 million reps. And now we have people, you know, they're instant mace experts. And there's other maces out there. But the first one I had was a Torque, and I got really, really used to it.
Well, you know, weightlifting doc, if you go on Instagram at weightlifting doc, and I can't remember his last name, Dr. Tony.
Tony Lamana.
Oh, my God. The guy, first of all, is a total fucking beast. But then
he came out and trained with me. He trained with me.
He's super smart, too. Like, I love that he sat down and did the physics equations, comparing all the different production maces based on length and weight and stuff. And this has been my contention. Now, obviously, this is not really aimed at the flow crowd because the flow crowd has a whole different aim and modality in their training. But for the people doing the heavier maces, I wish to God somebody would make a 54-inch long 10-kilo mace for people to swing because that level of torque is really, really a challenge. That's what gets your grip strength like Danny Hodge where you're squishing apples with your bare hands.
There is a difference between piling on weight on a short mace and using a more moderate mace with a longer handle. And just as there is for the people who know what we're talking about here, there is a difference between the Indian Jori and the Persian Meal.
Right.
And you usually like one or the other. And I know that with the Jori, I just tend to like the longer, thinner Indian style.
Yeah.
And with maces, I like to get in on it at 50 inches. I have a 6-foot mace. I have a 7-foot mace because I wanted to experiment with it. I'm going to have to get Tony Lamana to figure all this stuff out, but there is a difference between 10 pounds at 6 feet, 10 pounds at 5 feet, and 10 pounds at 4 feet. And I just like the way it feels at 5 and 5.5.
Well, and you know, it's funny. And here I am, the guy who came up with the mace of steel. It wasn't until Bill Calvani sent me one of his maces that, you know, his custom maces, his artisan maces that he makes, and it had a bamboo handle. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think I like the bamboo handles better. I like the give in it. I think his was the same. It was a long handle. It's got to be at least 10 kilos, if not heavier. But I love the little bit of wobble in it. It actually, I just enjoy it. It's interesting. And I love that you encourage everybody to use a different mace.
It's I'll tell you what, Paul Wolkowitzki came up with a line and he said it. And when he's with this metaphor and when he came up with it, I instantly understood it. He said that a wooden handled gada is like a Ferrari. And a steel mace is like an old school bus. And I understand that. And I agree.
It's true.
Listen, I agree. But listen, I went to school on an old steel
bus. Right.
I'm an old guy myself. And I know how to make the steel work. Okay?
Right.
I love the work that Calvani's done with maces. I have bamboo maces myself. I just chose to popularize the ones that were made of steel because I knew I could get them better. I mean, more suppliers and there would not be an insurance problem ever. And I even had a trainer call me up and say I teach with bamboo maces, and I've never had an insurance company ask me about, you know, what I use. I said, well, you teach in one small area of one small state. When I went to communist China, boy, they wanted to know who my high school teachers were. They wanted to know, you know, who made the maces, who this, who that. They wanted to know everything. Try going to another country. They, you know, you have to come up with some facts and figures to please them. And so, and incidentally, I was in Kansas at Kimberly Fox's doing a seminar for her group. Kimberly Fox, if you know who she is, she's a great, she does a 35-pound mace like it's a toy, and she can lift more kettlebells than any man I know. Yeah, and her husband can break your arm. So, you know, they're a formidable couple. And but I was there, and somebody showed up, and he had a mace made out of a PVC pipe. And it had 10 times the give of bamboo. And I think I have some pictures somewhere of me using it, and you could see the head of the mace swinging way to the side, curved like a sickle, and you had to get used to that. So I think it's all good. And like you started with the steel mace, but you prefer the bamboo. Well, that's great. Find what you like best and run with it to the hilt. That's what I did with the maces I have.